You cuss on this, right?
Yeah, all you want. Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. Welcome to episode 140 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? And that voice you just heard is my man, Owen Smith. What is up, Owen?
What's up, Zoe? What's up, man?
I got to tell you people, I don't even know how to start my Owen story because I don't know how long we've known each other.
Man.
But I'm going to tell you what's happened over the past, I don't know, 5 years, I'm going to say, whatever. Me and Owen, both comics, both in L.A., we bump into each other here and there, doing club spots, this and that. Owen started writing, and I knew that, and he was having some success as a writer, and he went, what was it, the show that took you back east?
Are We There Yet?
He went back east on the show Are We There Yet? And we all started seeing Owen on these hilarious State Farm commercials. If you remember the State Farm commercials of the guys at the basketball game, that was Owen. So things were starting to happen, and it was all good. And then we haven't seen each other for a few years because like I said, his writing career. So now he's come back. He's completely surpassed me in this industry, ladies and gentlemen. I am honored to be in the presence. The man is writing TV shows. He's starring in a new pilot for NBC.
I got two this year.
Two pilots.
Yeah, two pilots.
See?
Yeah.
You see, I can't even keep up. And I just saw him last week. He had one pilot. Now he's got two pilots. So, Owen, tell people how to find you, what's going on.
Hey, man, you can text the word comedy to 44222, and I'll send you everything. I'm trying to get an email list now.
Nice.
That's my new thing. Nice. I need 100,000 active what is it called? I don't even know what the word is.
Yeah, right, subscribers.
Now, right now I have 101.
I'm 99,000 away from that, so you're going to have to tell me how to text.
So I'll tell you about how to. And my website is owensmithlive.com. Owen Smith for real on everything. But if you just text message the word comedy to 44222, you'll get all that. And I'll send you a free hour special that I shot on iPhones,
which was a brilliant thing to do, people. He's downplaying it. He shot his 1 hour comedy special on, what was it? But 10 iPhones.
I went out, I bought 10 iPhones, which you cannot buy 10 iPhones at once. Cause Samsung just stole iPhones technology. And remember, Apple sued Samsung,
right?
And they paid them in pennies in a trash dumpster.
Yeah.
So I walked in and I go, I'd like to buy 10 iPhones. And they sent out a guy with a different color shirt.
This wasn't a genius.
It was another guy. And he was like, hey, so why do you need 10 iPhones? And I had this whole story concocted. Well, my business partner in New York, we hired some employees, that kind of thing. Well, okay, well, it's a practice here where you can only purchase two. So I bought two. Then I went across town to another Apple store, bought another two. Then I got my brother-in-law, came in one day, bought four.
Yeah.
So now I'm up to, what, eight? Then I came back one more time and bought two. Charged them all up that Thursday. Got a couple of buddies who do improv to hold four of the cameras. I bought two Steadicam things. It's all these cool things you could do with iPhone cameras,
yeah,
right? And I had my good friend Bill Berner. He's a DP. He was a DP on Are We There Yet?
Mm-hmm.
And he's been
DP. People is director of photography.
Yes. So he helped me light the West Side Comedy Club so that it would not be any bad spots, right? And we placed the cameras where we needed them to be, and Bill was working one of the cameras, but I directed the special. And it was the whole point of it. It was an unproduced special. You know, doing comedy specials,
right,
usually you have a guy that comes out and goes, all right, guys, even this guy make a big laugh, you know, all that stuff. These people knew there was a recording, but they didn't know that an hour special was taking place, right?
Right.
So they're just sitting there, and they watching. What I did was I hopped on the end of two shows, Neil Brennan's show,
yeah,
and Nat Goldberg's show.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the regular people, and then I went on, and I just did an hour. So you watched the crowd just go from, man, this guy's on for a long time.
Yeah, wait a minute. Everyone else was up 9 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
This guy's ignoring the light.
Yep. So it was a real organic, like, it's like if you just came to a show and this happened, and then at the end of both shows, I got an organic standing ovation in Santa Monica,
yeah,
right? So then what I did was I dumped the footage on my laptop And then the next day, I returned all the iPhones.
And what color shirt do you get when you return 10 iPhones? I know. Now there's the district guy.
Another dude. And
it's a guy with a tie. It's the only guy at Apple wearing a tie.
I recorded the whole thing. And he was like, how many you want to return? I go, 10. And that's when I used, I was using my acting skills. I was just acting really disappointed with a fictional business partner. Who went ahead of me and already purchased them, so we don't need them. And I got a check. I think the amount was like 13 grand because I had to buy them all off.
Right, you had to pay full price.
Yeah, man, and special that cost me nothing. My man Jeff Urin, who is editing Chappelle's specials and all that stuff, he edited it. Everybody was really excited. And everybody
That's a great idea. It's a great idea.
Yeah, and I'll send you a half-hour cut of it. It's really tight. It's really funny.
Cool, cool. So everybody look for that. So owensmith.com?
Owensmithlive.com.
Owensmithlive.com.
Yeah.
We'll go to that. Cool, man. Well, thank you. Thank you for being here.
Oh, man, yeah. Oh, the pilots, I didn't tell you. Sebastian for NBC.
You're on Sebastian's show for NBC.
And I'm playing his best friend. And Work Buddy and that. And we taped that April 12th. I don't know when this goes out, but at CBS Radford. And then the other one I just finished doing is for Fox. It's right now it's the Chris Case untitled pilot. One of the original titles was How I Met This Brother or My White Wife and Kids. But now I think it's called Winning Ugly or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think My White Wife and Kids is going to get
cracks
on
me up.
Network. It's a great title. Title.
It's with me, Bill Bellamy, Slim
That would
Johnson.
Be a BET show.
That'd
be a BET show.
Yeah. So it's fun, man.
So that's great, man. That's phenomenal. So this is the last time I'm going to get him for free, people. This is it.
That's actually true. That's
you
true.
You better listen closely. Owen Smith working for nothing. So, okay, well, you picked a great place to start off. Okay, since we're talking about working free and becoming famous and getting followers, there's a black guy. He got a lot of followers on Twitter. His name's Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went on Twitter and he passed both of us like right away.
Immediately.
But they won't let him have an iPhone. He's not allowed.
Oh, is it BlackBerry, right?
Yeah.
He's the last dude.
So you still got him beat, really? Yeah. So anyway, so this week, and we were talking about this a little earlier, and you know, anyone who listens to me knows I'm tired of all Trump all the time.
Yeah.
There's nothing new. Of course, we're going to do a Trump story because you have to.
Can't escape it.
But there's nothing more like
he's the Cat Williams of politics.
Right. who also got arrested this week?
You can't stop talking about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Went to Chappelle's show. So, Eddie Murphy and everybody is just talking about Cat.
So Barack Obama said this week that he's blaming the media for the, quote, coarsening of the political debate. And basically what he's saying is he's challenging journalists to maintain high standards and scrutiny of political figures. And, you know, due to the pressure of the press, the media to make profit. Okay. Mm-hmm. We have sunk down to what was the latest catfight? They talking about each other's wives, you know, Trump and Cruz talking about each other's wives. You notice they didn't bring Michelle Obama into that because Michelle ain't having that shit.
She would have shut that down.
Michelle shut that shit down the second day after the inauguration, you know, so you got to love her for that. But, you know, Barack Obama said something interesting. A well-informed electorate depends on you, and our democracy depends on a well-informed electorate. And I say that all sounds good, but ever since the 80s, when the media became a 24-hour for-profit enterprise.
Right.
There hasn't been any news. It's all infotainment. It's all, you know, beautiful people reading teleprompters.
Yeah.
There's no more, you know, I've said this before.
I've jerked off to more news anchors than
right. Yeah. Especially in the morning. It's
MSNBC.
It's like MILFs in the morning, you know. And there's no, like, I remember.
I saw one of my news anchors show up pregnant, and I got worried. I said, that ain't my baby.
There was a time when you were scared of 60 Minutes. Remember that when 60 Minutes would come to the door? And you'd see literally they'd have a guy around the back and they'd be trying to run and they'd be like, nah, we got questions. And what happened to that, man? Where's the news? Where do you find your news? How do you know,
what's crazy?
On?
You know what's happening? HBO is getting their ass beat by Netflix. I said it. And so now Netflix, I mean, so HBO's like, who can we fuck over? Or who's not doing news? The news. So now you got Vice popping up and all of those places sending these white dudes with incredible beards to these crazy places to ask like the real questions. And so, so HBO is getting into the news business because CNN and MSNBC, they're in the entertainment business.
Right.
Like they, it's impossible to have the truth shine. So some people may be saying some stuff, but you know, everybody has to compete. It's kind of like girls and fake asses, right? Yeah. Like you mentioned the 80s. Also, white girls had flat asses in the 80s. But now they're competing. Everybody's competing.
Yeah.
They're like, I'll take my chances. People going down to Mexico getting ass shots. It's the nature of
man, that is
competition.
And that's a different podcast right there. Because they're getting poisoned. Women are going to get an ass injection at a storage facility.
Yeah.
You know, the guy working out of storage locker 147. They're like, oh, but he cheap. Well, yeah, he didn't graduate. You know what I mean?
Know.
Nobody who graduated is working out of a storage facility.
Some women like to find the best deal, man.
Yeah, yeah.
So regardless.
You know, and I don't know about, I mean, this is where we're at, and this is why. You know, whenever people complain about Trump, it's like, yeah, but America created Trump, okay?
Yeah.
America created Trump because if you look at what we consider news, mm-hmm. and you're judged on how many clicks you get, like we were joking about having, you know, 100,000 followers or 1 million followers, but news reporters, and I've talked to them, they have to get that. Like, that's what they're up against, and that's why we know about. There's no reason for me to know about Ted Cruz's wife or
not
Donald Trump's wife or like, I don't care, but there's no substance to what they say.
No.
And while we're on the topic of the Donald, and this is where it moves from like, okay, is he a candidate or is he like some kind of weird messiah that they're worshiping?
Yeah.
So, everybody listening, you may or may not know this. You probably know this, but Trump's campaign manager, and let me find his name, Corey Lewandowski.
Yeah.
Okay, Corey Lewandowski. Basically, he grabbed this woman and pulled her away from Donald Trump. But the way he did it, like he grabbed her and left bruises on her arm, like it was assault.
Wow.
You know what I mean? It wasn't that. You know, when there's a star and his security's kind of pushing through the crowd and making a space for him, or like Prince's guy would just pick him up and hold him over his head.
Right.
It was the cutest thing to watch. But but it wasn't that. This was at a Trump rally. You know, they're bullies. They bully anyone who asks Donald Trump a real question or anything. So this reporter.
Before you get into that, I want to tell you a little Prince thing. When I was writing on Arsenio, Prince did Arsenio, and he wore these little light-up shoes just to go with the cute picture. He wears those, man.
Yeah, why wouldn't he? He's Prince.
Yeah, every step.
Prince is the only guy who can come in 4-inch heels and take your woman from you.
Man.
Right?
Yeah.
That's Prince.
And he came back the next day and sat in edit and did the sound mix for them. And he said,
boom.
BET is the only network that gets this right.
Okay, so getting back to this, so the Trump guy, Corey Lewandowski,
mm-hmm.
grabs a reporter, Michelle Fields, mm-hmm. and pulls her away because she was going to ask a real question
mm-hmm.
about policy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what surprises me, and it's always surprised me when women do this. So Katrina Pearson is a woman
mm-hmm.
who's Trump's media person or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
She's defending the man who grabbed a woman and pulled her out of the way, saying that, like, this happens all the time. Like, I never understood Republican women. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's okay for you to grab us and throw us out of the way, and it's okay for you to pay us 60% of what you pay men, and it's okay for you, you know, to tell us what to do with our bodies. Like, whenever I hear an abortion argument, like, I'm like, men shouldn't be allowed to say anything, because, you know.
Everybody talking about abortion. Why they always look like people that's not fucking.
Right. You got a point. They've been a while.
It's like, come on. They got an abortion and they passed. They feel guilty over. So now they want to. Yeah.
So how does he? What's the power, man? How does he do this? How do you get a woman say, yeah, it's okay for you to grab and drag a woman out the way for asking a question?
Man, I read the article. I watched her thing. She made it seem like, I didn't know that the woman was bruised and all of that. She made it seem, I'm torn on this because there is this narrative of saying is you should never touch a woman, right? And I agree with that. This guy, I just feel like it's metaphoric for if Trump gets into office, how many more of us he's going to be pushing out the way. you know what I mean? But it's like she didn't report it to the police for 3 days. Like she's going very legal with it, right? She just went to Twitter. And it's like, I keep saying to women, man, you got to report this shit. Like, you got to get ahead of it. You know what I mean? Like, because legally, this dude may get off. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's
unfortunate because because she's trying to paint it like, I'm watching the OJ thing, you know, on right. FX, and it's that kind of shit. Like,
yeah.
Like, she's telling a different story now, you
know? But see, here's the thing, and this is a tough one for women, and women always say this, right? Because, yes, you should report it, but if you report it right away, now you're just a woman who's complaining, you know, in a man's world. Right, but she is. Yeah, and here's the thing. This wasn't like when they push back the crowd.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if there's a crime,
yeah,
and the police are like, okay, you got to move back, and they're moving the whole crowd back,
yeah,
to put up the barrier. This wasn't one of those situations. This wasn't. This was like, you reached out and physically grabbed, and you grabbed her because she was asking a tough question.
Right.
You didn't just arbitrarily, like, you weren't trying to move the whole crowd.
Yeah.
You know.
She asked the real question.
So, yeah.
She read Obama's article, got inspired.
You don't sit here asking questions.
Right.
You're supposed to just cheer and hate Muslims.
Yeah. She heard Obama's speech at the award thing and then got inspired. So my question to you is this. What if it was a woman that pushed her out the way, like Marsha Warfield? Like, what if Marsha Warfield,
even then,
from Night Court?
Yeah, you can't. You still can't do it. Like you can't. You can't physically restrict the press. But no, I'm wrong, because you can.
She's saying once you get past a certain,
you can, because this was just done. So things that you said, well, you can't do that. It's like, well, no, we've changed. So I guess you can.
On
so
a dime.
So I guess. What does that mean? That you hired, you know, three women bodybuilders to muscle the women away from you?
I mean, I bet you they're being vetted and interviewed right now.
Yeah, but
they
even
call it Ronda
so,
Rousey.
Yeah, but no, I don't. I think if you put your hands on someone and bruise them, you're going to be in trouble.
That's assault.
You're going to be in trouble. You know,
over 18, that is assault.
Yeah. So.
So my question too, though, is like, what, like. This is tough, man. I don't know. I feel like she was. I lost my train of thought. I had something I wanted to say. It was something you said. Anyway.
Well, I said that this is that they'll hire women bodybuilders. That you have women to push around the women and men to push around the men. If you ask a question.
Oh, that's no, yeah, but it was like the whole thing. I feel like the losing side right now is the Republicans. Have you ever played hide and go seek with a seven-year-old?
Not probably since I was 8.
Well, basically, they'll be like, okay, Uncle Zoe, this is base right here, right? And then if you're on base and they can't get to base, they just change. No, this is base.
Right,
like,
they move
just change.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what you're seeing. Like, these rules, like what the story you sent me about the guns.
Right, not which we're going to talk about next. But, so the rule, there is no rule. The rule is flexible. Like, well, you can't hit a woman unless she's asking a tough question, which, you know, actually falls in line with their whole view of women, right? Because the Republicans, like, this is my opinion of Republicans, and I'm not the only one to say this, so I'm not going to take credit, like, I'm the only, but they loved 1950.
Yeah.
You know, in 1950, women knew where they belonged. They stayed in the kitchen. Black people knew where they belonged.
They stayed
Latinos,
out
Latinos didn't exist. There was, like, Ricky Ricardo. There was Ricky Ricardo, and I think he was the only one.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the world that these Republicans want, where it's just white men in charge of everything. Like, I always said, that they watched Mad Men, that was like a wet dream to them.
Hilarious.
You know what I mean? They were like, mad, wow.
I know.
You just go to work, you drink, you smoke, you bang your secretary. That was expected. It was your secretary, like, had to give it up. Like, she knew that was part of her job. Like, well, yeah, of course my boss bangs me. That's why I hope I get Don Draper. I hope I get the cute boss at least, because I got to give it up. You know, that was the world.
Yeah.
And they it's like now.
They sore losers, no. man. And, they had a good run.
And there's certain women like that he would, like you talked about Marsha Warfield, like that. I'm sure there's women he wouldn't have grabbed.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like there's women where they'd have been like, yeah, reach for that arm. That's going to be your ass.
We,
you know,
we need to send Leslie Jones in there.
Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey's a perfect test because Ronda Rousey, she's tough. She doesn't look as tough as she is. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. you might reach, you might think you got a shot and then you'd be getting up like, what hit me?
Well, what day is this?
I thought it was a blonde, you know? I love Les. You know, you,
man,
you don't
mess with, my girl. That's my girl.
You don't mess with Leslie.
Leslie, get that
Leslie,
out.
Leslie will take you apart mentally and comedically and then whip your ass. You know what I mean? Like they, you, she'll like, oh, you want to go?
Yeah.
Are we going to go verbally?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Les and I'm happy for her.
Me too, man.
So, okay. And you mentioned this cause this is funny to me. The gun thing. So we know the Republicans love guns. They want you to bring your gun to the Chipotle. They want you to bring your gun to the grocery store. They give guns to the kids. Mm-hmm. You know, they have kids shooting Uzis at the shooting. Like, and what do they always say? You need a good guy with a gun in case a bad guy, meaning a brown or black guy with a gun, shows up.
Question, when has that ever been successful except in Hollywood movies?
It's happened on occasion. There have been stories. I have a friend who's a big gun guy and he'll send me the rare story. It does happen once in a while where somebody with a gun stops a crime.
Mm.
Far more often, you know, you have like the story I did on my last podcast where this pro-gun woman in Florida, her four-year-old son shot her in the back.
Ugh.
And the funniest thing about it is the kid was, and I don't know this for sure, but assuming she followed the law, her kid was in a child seat in the car. Right? The kid would be in a child seat playing with the gun and shot mom.
Is she dead?
But no, no.
Oh.
You know, he probably shot her in the head, which was empty. So the Secret Service has banned guns at the GOP convention.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can't now. These are the people. All they talk about is you first. They hate the no gun zones. Like we had gun free zones, like at schools,
when
and they
that
fight
work?
That.
Yeah.
They, you know, hospitals and are supposed to be gun free. No, I bring my gun. You know, big story. University of Texas. You're allowed to bring guns to class, and the professors are like, "What?
Yep.
Now I can't fail anybody." You know, I talked about that. So you can, they want to bring their guns everywhere except to their convention.
Right.
See, and to me, this is the bitch ass move. This is a punk ass move. You say you can bring guns everywhere. Our good guys. Okay. So let your good guys bring guns to your convention and protect you. What are you afraid of?
Yeah.
Right.
Is getting it, shot. They know Donald Trump's like, nah, man.
It is. And again, I get back to their followers.
Yeah.
Are they that dumb? Are they like, because they'll come up with some bullshit excuse, right? They'll blame the Secret Service or something. Like, no, you, this is your thing.
Yeah.
If you say that your guys with a gun will protect you and blah, 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 then why can't everybody bring a gun? You know why? Because the next time you grab a woman in a press conference,
she's
strapped. She might bust a cap in your ass.
Hell,
you know?
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah.
A good woman with a gun just stopped a bully. You know?
It's funny. What the Secret Service said Tuesday, that they had the authority to ban guns from sites visited by presidential candidates under its protection, right? So during the convention, the perimeter will be set around the entire state of Ohio.
But didn't they remember those town hall meetings?
Yes.
And they would bring their guns to the town hall. So why was that okay? Oh, that's right. He was black.
Yeah.
Obama was.
We just keep an eye on him. Just in case anything happens. You know, I'm here.
I'm here to report.
Yeah.
You know,
it's an open carry state, man. That's the craziest thing. But it's like I say, it's hide and go seek with a 7-year-old.
Yeah, that's a great way
to
put it. So
the
rules just changed. So you could bring your gun anywhere. No, you can't bring your gun where we're going to be.
This is base, not here. They just change it right there in front of your face.
You can bring your gun anywhere except where we're going
to
be.
That's it. But I want you, if we do have President Trump and he says he's going to create like the greatest job, he's going to be the greatest job creating president, 90% of those jobs are going to be in Secret Service. Just think of how much.
How much they're going to have to protect him.
Everybody's going to have to protect Trump.
Man, everybody. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Secret Service, Secret Service is going to be hiring like TSA.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember when TSA first started?
Everybody's working for
TSA. They were hired. They didn't do any background check.
No.
The guy who just robbed you was now right checking there. Your luggage. You right. Wait a minute.
Sorry, man. I have to secure that lotion.
Like, wait a minute. I just saw you in court. Now you got a TSA job.
Sorry about that, but
right, that's the way it was. That's what's going to happen. That's hilarious.
Yeah,
Secret Service is going to be hiring at the TSA.
It's going to be hiring at the TSA. And if they beat this case with the guy who put his hands on the women, think of how many assaulters are going to be like just coming out.
And the great thing, and this is how. Yeah, I'll use the word dumb. This is how dumb they are. So a guy started a petition saying that to ban guns at the convention, quote, this is a direct affront to the Second Amendment and puts all attendees at risk. And the petition got over 50,000 signatures.
It was a joke.
It was a joke by a liberal.
Right.
It was a joke by and 50,000 of them agreed with that.
It's like hilarious.
That's amazing.
That's the power of comedy, baby.
I love when they start talking about the Second Amendment.
Yeah, me too.
You know, the Second
Amendment. Your joke on that is so brilliant, dude.
Thank you, man. But
you guys got to see it. If y'all don't see Alonzo Bowden live, I don't know what you're doing.
But the Second Amendment, you know, when they were writing it, the Founding Fathers couldn't have thought of everything.
No.
Right? So they were like, well, no, they wouldn't bring machine guns to Chipotle. Do we have to write that in? No machine guns at the Chipotle? No assault rifles at the kindergarten? We don't have to write that. Yeah, you
got to write everything.
Yeah, you should have wrote it. And here's one, and I didn't send you this story, but this is amazing, and you have to look at this picture, okay? It's called Ideal Conceal, okay? If you're listening, go online and look for Ideal Conceal. Mm. It's a cell phone gun.
Oh, no.
It's a cell phone.
That's a cell phone?
It looks like a cell phone.
It does look like a cell phone.
This is like James Bond shit. It looks like a cell phone.
Holy shit.
And it unfolds, and it will fire two 380 caliber rounds. And the man who invented it said he invented it because
God told me.
God wasn't in on this one.
I answered the call one time and said, hello.
He said he had an open carry or a concealed carry permit, but he didn't like people to see the gun he was carrying. So this way he can carry a gun that doesn't look like a gun.
You guys, I mean, let me try to describe this picture for your listeners. If it is a cell phone. Except how does that fold down thing looks like?
Okay, if you're holding your phone in the long way, so it's horizontally
landscape,
long way.
Yeah, landscape.
Imagine the bottom of your phone unfolding like a jaw, like a jawbone, and that becomes the handle
and
with a trigger
in the middle of your phone.
In the middle, and you would be firing bullets out of the top of your phone where the headphone plugs in, that would be the barrel.
The bad news is Sprint is going to be the last carrier to get this.
Sprint, you won't. But this is something, and it's made of plastic, so theoretically, you can get it past TSA.
Man.
And whatever else.
That's what I was thinking, too, about that whole no guns allowed at the Republican convention. It's like, man, you better start getting them bow and arrows up, nigga. After I seen The Revenant, I got new respect.
Be the walking dead. Like Daryl with that crossbow. Daryl with the crossbow
is
the baddest. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, man, if the zombies take over, I hope I have a friend like Daryl. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you just have him or Michonne with that katana sword.
Oh, yeah, man. Come on, man. You got to go back to that.
Hey, reach for her. Try to grab Michonne,
and you
will pull back a wrist.
Pull back a nub. Because
she has a sword, and you will...
Yeah, that's it. And you don't hear it coming. Did you see The Revenant?
Oh, man. No, not yet.
You got it. The opening scene of The Revenant makes you have new respect for bow and arrows. Like, I was rooting for the Indians, man. I thought they were, I know how it turned out, but I thought.
Thought they had a chance.
That bow and arrow life was amazing. And listen, man, you can't hear them coming.
No.
That's it.
You know who was into that? Bo Jackson.
Ooh, yes, that's right.
Bo used to go bow hunting.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Because it's incredible.
Yeah. I can imagine. I can imagine.
Yeah, man.
Imagine brothers walking around the
hood.
That's
what I'm saying. With bow and arrow. You playing basketball and somebody go to his trunk and pull out a bow and arrow, I'm out. And what was so gangsta about the Revenant is they knew the country better than the, you know.
Yeah, yeah,
so you over there hiding, you think you in the hiding spot. It's like, man, we seen you 3 days ago, man.
Okay, we gotta blaze through these two,
right,
I think.
Right.
We gotta give up the studio.
Okay.
But no, I wanna go over, and it's great. I love how everything's flowing together. So we mentioned Bo Jackson, right?
Yeah.
So we talk about football player.
Yes.
Baseball. They're always talking, what are people always complaining? Why do they make so much money?
Yes.
They get paid so much. They get paid so much.
Yes.
Forget about that. Kids, let me tell you something. Put down the basketball.
Yes.
Put down the football.
Yes.
Stay in school. Get your MBA.
Yes.
So you can really start stealing money. You understand? So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Porter Ranch.
Yes.
For those who don't know, Porter Ranch is a suburb of L.A.
Yep.
And there was a major gas leak. And when I say a major gas leak, I'm talking about the air was poisoned and people had to evacuate. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about, you know, don't light a cigarette.
Yeah, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, they lived up there.
Okay, so yeah. So people literally had to evacuate, okay? Mm-hmm. The worst gas leak.
4 month gas leak.
In U.S. history, okay? With this damaged the climate. This is not some little gas leak.
Right.
This is, okay? So Deborah Reed, chairman and CEO of the gas company's parent firm, has been docked part of her pay because of this episode.
Aww.
Okay. Her penalty was $130,000.
That's respectable.
That's respectable. Mm. Except she still gets her $3.17 million bonus.
Yikes.
That's not her salary. That's her bonus. Okay. $3.17 million bonus. Like, if you get a $3 million bonus for creating the worst gas leak in history, how much is the bonus if you don't poison the atmosphere? What were you supposed to, well, you know, you're supposed to get $7 million, but I poisoned the atmosphere. They cut me back to $3 million. I never want to hear someone complain about, you know, a 200 hitter getting paid $2 million a year again.
Good point.
I never want to hear that the 10th guy on the bench on an NBA team on the Lakers who, you know, suck, gets paid $1.4 million. Yeah, he didn't poison anybody this week.
Right.
He didn't have a few thousand people. And here's the thing. When they evacuate those thousand people and they do the clean, we pay for that.
We pay for that.
You know, that's fire department and emergency services.
Yeah.
And that's
relatives asking to stay with you.
Any of that come out of her $3.1 million? Because her 130 grand ain't covering it.
No.
You know what I mean? Like,
no.
I had an accident. They took me to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
They sent me a bill for the ambulance. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I had insurance.
Mm-hmm.
The bill was $2,500.
Mm.
So if you paid $130,000, then you paid for what, $6,000?
Yeah.
Ambulance,
you're saying?
You paid for $60,000 ambulance ride.
Okay.
That's not evacuating a town.
No.
You know what I mean?
Far short.
Yeah, you came short of paying to evacuate a town.
And then she had other partners in it. I was reading that article, man. Did you know that there was a compensation committee?
Yeah, of course.
How do you get on that?
Well, you know, there always is. And you know who the compensation committee is? And my math was wrong. It was 6,000 people.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. But the compensation committee are CEOs of other companies.
It's amazing.
You know, when you're on the board, like if you're on the board of company A,
yeah,
you're the chairman of company B. And
damn,
on board of company B is the chairman of company A. So you're like, hey, you think this is a good paycheck? I don't know. You think it's a good paycheck? Yeah, we think it's a good paycheck.
Look, and Chairman B's like, look, I'm fucking up this shit, so make sure you hook me up when it hits the fan.
And this was, now the Bernie supporters, this is one of their big things with Wall Street. They do this because this was one of the things that Barack Obama tried to put a lid on, this type of compensation for Wall Street bankers.
Yeah.
Because that's what they do. They get all these crazy bonuses. Like your salary might only be, you know, a few hundred thousand, but your bonus is $4 million. And they tried to rein that in. And of course, they couldn't do it. And now all the Bernie supporters, all the college kids think that Bernie's going to walk into the White House and suddenly everybody's going to say, oh, we're sorry, Bernie. We didn't know.
Oh, here's your money back.
Yeah, we're all going to cut our pay because Bernie's in charge. I like them when they're young because they believe anything.
Yeah.
God bless them.
Yeah.
But anyhow, that so kids, if you're listening, go to school. Get your MBA because that's who's taking the money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the ball players and the actors, You know, yeah, Leo. Leo probably made $30 million for doing The Revenant.
Yeah,
but at least Leo was like in the woods in the snow,
right?
You know, and Leo didn't actually kill anybody.
No,
they faked it.
No,
Leo didn't poison a generation of kids. Who knows what's going to happen in Porta Ranch? Man. She should have to live there. That should be one of the rules.
That's funny.
She should. It's like, yeah, we're gonna. You have to live
right next to
the gas leak. Yeah. And bring your children.
Yeah. Everybody.
You
know,
it's safe.
We found you a nice house for guess what? $130,000.
Yeah. And we're gonna get you some water.
Yeah.
From Flint, Michigan.
Man, that's just incredible.
it's a different thing. Finally, and probably my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
10 weirdest things about the United States. Okay. Well. Maybe it's final. Can we talk about ocean meat?
Man, that's my favorite thing, man.
You want to talk about ocean meat?
Yeah, man.
Arby's, if you've heard the commercials, they're done by Ving Rhames.
Yes.
We have the meat.
Boom, 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 boom.
Well, now Arby's has ocean meat. That's the meat. It's a new sandwich. They're using the phrase, we have ocean meat. We're not sure what ocean meat is.
Nah.
I don't know which fish
that might be. It could be anything.
Or could it be all of them? Just a little bit of. I don't know. Like, see, this is where fast food chains get in trouble. Like, there was a time, you know, way back when I was a kid, where Jack in the Box got in trouble.
Yeah.
For having, like, it was like kangaroo meat or something like that.
Yeah.
And then Taco Bell, people like, wait a minute, I just got a steak taco for 99 cents. Are we sure that's steak?
Right?
You know, well, you can't sell people
ocean meat. That just sounds disgusting.
That could be a cow that drowned.
That's hilarious.
That could be a cow. It might be ocean meat. The laughter you hear is our producer, Sean Merrick. And we know we're hitting it when Sean laughs because he's totally professional. But you might be eating a cow that drowned. I don't know how close cows get to the ocean. But if your cow was dumb enough to go to the ocean and drown,
there you go. He deserves to be in an Arby's sandwich.
That might be your ocean meat.
I'm going to tell you, though, man. It's like, what do you expect, man? The place is named Arby's. Like, clearly, they don't have the best judgment when it comes to naming things.
Right. short for arbitrary, right. Which is how we find ocean meat.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I like their roast beef sandwiches. And, you know, it's one of those things when you eat. See, here's the thing about eating fast food. You can't ask what's in it.
Oh, no. No, you can't.
When I eat an Arby's roast beef sandwich, it might be roast beef.
It might be cat meat.
That ain't none of my business. It's delicious.
It's going to be delicious.
That's what I count on. Yeah. I'm not looking for organic, free-range.
Man.
Beef. Look, you got ocean
People
meat?
People eat pigeon meat.
Is
People,
it good?
No. When I was a kid, man, in Maryland and in D.C., they used to be so mean to all the Chinese food restaurants had bulletproof glass, right? And the thugs are walking in, be like, hey, yo, man, let me get in. And they made anything to cater to the neighborhood. So you could get a steak and cheese from a Chinese food spot. And my man would always be like, hey, yo, my man, let me get a steak and cheese. And I don't want no meow meat. Just say it straight up. No meow meat, man.
There's no better way to get meow meat than tell him you don't want meow meat. That's the best way to make sure you get meow meat. Okay, so. A survey was done by a tour company.
Oh, this is great.
They surveyed people from other countries and asked them what's the strangest thing that surprised them the first time they visited the United States. Okay, so here are the top 10
Let me read them like Will Smith's concussion.
I was going to say, in honor of David Letterman, this is the top 10 list of the weirdest things that foreign people found in America the first time. And this is
number one. There are tons of squirrels.
Squirrels everywhere. That is
so
true.
So many squirrels.
We do have a lot of squirrels.
You have so many in America.
There's no natural predator for squirrels.
No predator.
That's why we have squirrels.
They are so aggressive.
Yeah.
Number two, the size of your sodas. Do you need 2 liters?
The double big gulp. Apparently we do. Apparently it takes a lot of soda to wash down ocean meat.
Number three, please answer that, please. Number three, the giant turkey legs for sale at amusement parks.
I don't know where that phone is or why it's ringing, so we're just going to have that in the background.
Oh, that's funny.
I think it's mine. I think I actually got service. I don't know where that. Oh, keep going.
Number four, all of the drive-throughs, and not just for fast food, for coffee, pharmacies, liquor, and more.
We ain't getting out of our cars. Listen, we're drinking giant sodas. We're eating giant turkey legs. Do you understand the theme behind all of this? We're big people.
We're big.
We're not just jumping out of the car, running around.
Oh. All of the ads for lawyers and prescription drugs. Oh.
That is true. And now it's gotten, there are ads for lawyers to sue the prescription drug company. You know what I mean? Like now you can get both of those in one commercial.
Wow.
Have you taken X drugs?
That's right.
Well, call the law firm.
Right.
You can literally, yeah. So yes, we do have a lot of those.
We got that.
Okay.
Number six, the gaps on the bathroom stall doors.
Why is that? I don't know that. Do they mean the gap at the bottom of the door?
Yeah, I don't understand that either.
I don't understand.
Is it on the bottom? I was thinking, are they between?
Yeah, but in between, there aren't really gaps other than the space for the hinge.
I guess there's nothing.
I think you got to be peeking. If you're looking at the gaps in the door, you're like, you peeking.
Or you're Republican.
I'll knock my country on some of these as being ridiculous, but I'm not going with the gaps on the stall door. I think we're okay on that one.
But who was the Republican dude that tapped his leg underneath?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was like the code
for gay.
It was the code to hook up in the gay. Yeah, I don't know.
How do you even know that that's the code?
Because you're gay and you hooking up. You know what I mean? That's one of those things you can't deny it.
Here's what you do, Senator.
Because you can't, you don't arbitrarily know that. You know what I mean? So you can't just say, oh, I didn't know. Yeah, I've been to a million men's rooms. I don't know the code to meet the gay guy in a stall. You have to be a gay guy to know that. No knock, no disrespect.
No disrespect.
It's cool if you are, but you have to be to know that code.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you ain't going to know that.
Yeah.
But we're okay with the gaps. Okay.
Number seven, American flags everywhere.
Better American flags than Confederate flags.
Yeah.
See, they haven't been through the South.
No, we just got here. Number eight, how friendly people are.
Wonder which country he visited.
To your face.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for tagging that one. No, Americans, I think Americans are friendly to foreign tourists in certain places. You know, like I grew up in New York. And in New York, New Yorkers will help a foreigner out.
In a minute.
They will talk about you.
Oh, yeah.
But they will tell you how to get to Rockefeller Center. Yeah. Or how to get to Times Square, or how to get the hell out of my face.
Yeah. and New Yorkers also tell you how to save money. Like, don't spend that money over there.
Right, yeah.
It's cheap over there.
Yeah,
don't buy that.
Don't. And they'll stop you from buying something on the street. That ain't Prada. Put your money back. Put your money away. Yeah.
Right. Number nine. Everyone constantly driving above the speed limit.
Not in L.A.? We drive above the speed limit between 4 and 6 a.m.
Yeah.
When you're on your way to the airport and no one else is out.
Yeah, that's the only time. Yeah. I don't get those car commercials.
And on the East Coast, they don't drive. We drive faster in the West than on the East.
Yeah.
Most frustrating places for me to drive are Portland and Seattle.
Really?
Because they observe the speed limit.
Oh, wow.
They're all like protecting the earth and driving Subarus at 55 miles an hour. Ugh. I'm going nuts. I'm behind them.
Ugh.
I'm ripping out hair I don't have. Like, would you please hurry the Subaru up?
Yes, you can do 70.
Yes.
And what number am I? Number 10. Tell the truth. The massive size of our vehicles.
Well, we're eating giant turkey legs.
You are so fat.
We're drinking soda by the gallon.
Drive-thrus everywhere.
We're at the drive-thru ordering ocean meat.
We're taking pills.
We're probably not going to fit in a smart car.
No, hell no.
You know what's funny? The Mini Cooper, which I've had two of them. I love the Mini.
Yeah.
Even the Mini has gotten bigger. That's what's funny to me.
Maxi Cooper.
When the Mini first came out in 2003, it was like this little, and they were fun to drive. It's like driving a go-kart.
Uh-huh.
And now, like, even the Mini got bigger. They're like, they're eating.
That's hilarious.
Everything's gotten bigger except the airline seat.
Yes.
Airline seat has gotten smaller. Well, you don't have to worry about coach much longer. You got two pilots.
Thanks,
and
man. Put it out
the
there. They both going to get picked up.
You ain't going to be worried about coach. You're going to be like, man, y'all better.
I know.
You know.
Get that first class.
I remember back when we used to do USO stuff, mm-hmm. and Jeff Brown.
Yeah.
Remember Jeff?
Yeah, and Jeff with the cool voice.
Yeah.
I can't do his voice. He's great, man.
We were on a, they used to fly us business. They put the talent, the three comics in business class, uh-huh. and the tour managers in coach.
Hilarious.
Jeff would go to the curtain every time we got something to eat. Uh-huh. Say, y'all eating back there? Because we eating again. Because we'd have these long ass flights, yeah. like from Washington, D.C. to Kuwait, where you're on a 14-hour flight. And Jeff would keep going back. He'd take him some of his champagne. That's and so this funny. And that. Yeah, I don't think he's doing those tours anymore. So, ladies and gentlemen, who's paying attention? Owen, thank you so much.
Thank this has been fantastic. Me.
Do you have any live stuff coming up? Any place people can see you?
Yeah, when does this come out?
This will be out this week. This will be out by April 1st.
Let's see. I'm at the Comedy Store every weekend, and I do Ha Ha Comedy Cafe.
Okay, those are both in L.A. Hollywood
LA.
Comedy Store in Hollywood and the Ha Ha Cafe in the Valley.
And if you text the word comedy to 44222, the word comedy is 2432s. I'll hit you with whatever else is happening.
All right. I am going to be this weekend. I'm going to be on NPR's Wait, Don't Tell Me April 2nd. I'm going to be, and I did recommend you for the show.
Thanks, by
the
man.
Way. I'm going to be at the Chicago Improv in Schaumburg at the Westfield Mall.
Wow.
April 1st, 2nd, and 3rd.
They need to call that the Schaumburg Improv.
Yeah. It's close enough to Chicago.
Yeah.
And then April 11th through the 16th, I'm going to be in Las Vegas at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club.
Nice.
At the MGM Grand. So that's in case we don't get, well, we'll get a podcast next week, but I'm going to be traveling too much to do two guests. But Owen, thank you so much. We're going to have you back. And ladies and gentlemen listening, we had another guest scheduled for today, the lovely and hilarious Cristela Alonso, who's I always say is my favorite Alonso in comedy. She had an audition today,
man. Good luck, Cristela.
Wishing her luck on getting that job. And then I got to get her before she's back on TV. All of my friends are blowing up, and I love seeing it. Everybody out there, thank you guys for listening. Support live comedy. Look for Owen Smith. Owen is hilarious and creative, man. And he's doing great stuff. Thank you guys, and good night.